Have I been here for Radhashtami or around Radhashtami recently? No? He says no. Anyone else? No? Okay. This is a very wonderful season with Julan Yatra, Balaram's appearance day, Krishna's appearance day, Prabhupada's appearance day, and then Radharani's appearance day. Very nice. So we're going to have some appreciation about Srimati Radharani today. Kirtan's over. So who is Srimati Radharani? Srimati Radharani and Krishna, we see them in two forms, Radha Krishna. But according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, although in two forms, they're one entity. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikatir Ladini Shakti Asmat Ekatmanav Api Bhuvi Pura Deha Beda Gatao Tao. These two forms are the Ladini Shakti of Shaktiman. And they eternally are, this verse says, they're eternally present in two forms, Eka Atma, Ekatmanav Api Bhuvi, that although they're one entity, just like the sun and the sunshine, it's one entity. We make a distinction, and rightly so. The sunshine is not the sun. The sun is not the sunshine. We can say in the morning, the sun is in our room. But if the sun was in your room, you'd burn up at once. So it's the sunshine that's in your room, but the sun is in your room in the form of the sunshine. So the sunshine is inseparable from the sun. The sun is inseparable from the sunshine. In that sense, one entity, eternally existing in two forms. Again, this is something that I'll share with you from my Sri Brahma Samhita studies. When you see the form of Mahavishnu, think of paintings that you've seen of Mahavishnu or descriptions of Mahavishnu. Who is Mahavishnu? He is that expansion of Krishna from whom the universes expand. And we always see Mahavishnu lying on Anantashesh, but we don't see his internal potency. Correct? In the milk ocean, we see Lord Vishnu, that's Shirodakshai Vishnu, with Lakshmi at his lotus feet. And commonly, on Anantashesh, commonly Garuda is there too. But Mahavishnu, we don't see with his potency. The reason is, he's in this state called Yoga Nidra. What is Yoga? What does Nidra mean? Sleep. Nidra, sleep. And Yoga Nidra is mystic sleep or mystic slumber. And the scriptures describe his potency is within him. She's there, Rama Devi is within him. And so another name of Rama Devi in this case is Yoga Nidra. It's another name, just like Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayan, Radha Krishna. It's Rama Mahavishnu. And when she's in within and he's enjoying pastimes within in this state of mystic slumber, she's known as Yoga Nidra. Same. Rama and also in Sri Brahma Samhita, also called Yogamaya. So, one entity in two forms. And the specific feature of Radha is she's the pleasure potency, because the internal potency, sometimes in Sanskrit known as chit potency or antaranga shakti, the internal potency of the Lord, has three divisions: knowledge, eternality, and bliss. Satchitananda or sandini samvit and ladini, same meanings. So she's the ladini potency, she's the ananda potency. She is his potency. And he enjoys through her. And she enjoys pleasing him. And this is their relationship. The internal potency, specifically the pleasure potency of the first, the source of everything. She is his pleasure potency. And it's by her pleasure potency, or by her existence, by her contact with the living entity, that we have the opportunity to engage in service. Through her agency, we can serve Krishna. And you can say conversely, without her agency, without her mercy, we have no access to serving Krishna. So, fortunately for us, she's very merciful. She's very merciful. And when Krishna descends, she descends. And when Krishna descends and she descends, the whole of the spiritual world descends. His whole abode, his dham, descends, along with all of his associates and Govardhan Hill and the river Jamuna and everything descends to assist him in his pleasure pastimes. So I thought to begin just giving a description of, like that, who is Srimati Radharani. But she's also described as, in addition to the internal pleasure potency, she's very special even amongst the pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord. She manifests Mahabhav. So, living entities like us, through the contact of the internal potency, devotional service, we can experience various spiritual emotion through her agency. And that's called bhava. So our constitutional position of servitorship, say as a servant or as a friend, or as a parent, or as a lover, in these different rasas, there's variegatedness within those rasas, and that variegatedness, in simple language, is called bhava. Bhava means, in the case of relationship with Krishna, it's a spiritual ecstasy. So living entities can experience spiritual ecstasy through the agency of Srimati Radharani. But Radharani alone can experience what's known in scripture as Mahabhava. His internal potency alone can experience that. And one of the references for Radharani's exhibition of Mahabhava is found when Uddhava visited Vrindavan at the request of Krishna. So Uddhava, I hope you have any Western people that all this language is strange to them. You okay with names of places and people that you get the gist and that's good enough, right? Okay, good. Okay. Vrindavan. You know Vrindavan. Vrindavan is where Krishna performed his childhood pastimes. near Vrindavan, the big city where Krishna was born, the capital of the whole area, is Mathura. Big Mathura city. And Vrindavan is just village. And then there's the place where Krishna resided when he was a prince with so many wives and so many palaces, and living in each of the palaces simultaneously as expansions of himself. Pretty powerful. And doing different things in each of the palaces at the same time with different of the wives. Krishna's capacity is unlimited. And of all the devotees of Krishna outside of Vrindavan, the one who is considered by everyone as the most exalted devotee outside of Vrindavan was Uddhava. And Uddhava was so exalted that Krishna would seek his advice, and he would give Krishna advice, and Krishna would follow his advice. Because he knew, he even looked like Krishna. His color, his complexion, his features to some degree looked like Krishna. They were intimate associates, serving as Krishna's advisor. But Krishna understood, Uddhava is so elevated, I would like him to experience something that's even more elevated than him, and that's the love of the residents of Vrindavan. He wanted Uddhava to experience that. So he sent Uddhava on a minister's errand. And the minister's errand was, Krishna wrote a letter and asked Uddhava to go meet my mother and father, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, and then go find the gopis and read this letter, because it's dear gopis. It's a dear gopis letter. But to pacify the gopis. And that certainly was one of Krishna's purposes. But another one of Krishna's purposes was to give Uddhava the chance to experience the love, the exalted nature of the love of the residents of Vrindavan. So, I have some photos. This is, hopefully it'll work. This is Srimati Radharani, and this is Uddhava reading the letter to the gopis, and right over here there's a bumblebee. See the bumblebee? So, there's the bumblebee. But first, when Uddhava got to Vrindavan, he went to pay his respects to Nanda and Yashoda. And Nanda was standing at the door, looking out towards Mathura, just standing there like a statue. Uddhava paid his respects to Nanda, who didn't even notice Uddhava. He was just standing, staring in the direction of Mathura. He didn't say a word. It was like a stone statue. He was shocked. So then he went inside the palace and he looked for Mother Yashoda. And he saw Mother Yashoda sitting in a chair by a window, looking out the window towards Mathura, just crying and crying and crying and crying. And he spoke a few words to Mother Yashoda, and she just babbled some words. When will Krishna return? When will Krishna return? She was just in a state of trance, feeling pain of separation from Krishna. She couldn't even recognize that there was a guest in the palace. She would, because she's a perfectly cultured person, she would have received her guest. She couldn't. She was too absorbed. And then she got up and paced back and forth, talking to herself about Krishna's pastimes, describing when Krishna did this and Krishna did that, and he would prepare a meal for Krishna, and Krishna maybe soon will come back, just like he did when he returned from the cowherd pastures with the cowherd boys, and I prepared my lunch and I would it might make a meal for Krishna, and I would bathe Krishna, dress Krishna, describe the whole, is talking and talking and talking in madness about Krishna. Uddhava paid his obeisances and quietly left. Meanwhile, outside was a very wonderful chariot that was very clearly a chariot that had come from Mathura. So the gopis were all gathered around the chariot thinking, maybe Krishna came back. And when he came out of the house, as you see, his complexion is darkish like Krishna. And he was dressed even in garments like Krishna. And they thought it was Krishna. And so they were so overjoyed. And then it wasn't Krishna. But Uddhava said, I've come with a message from Krishna for all of you, but we need to go to a quiet and a private place. I'd like to read aloud Krishna's words to you. And he read the letter, at least to most of the gopis, except for one, Srimati Radharani. She was in a state of Mahabhav. She was seeing Uddhava as a bumblebee with a messenger, bumblebee from Krishna. So she began speaking to the bumblebee as if she was speaking to Uddhava. She was just in a state of madness. And I'll paraphrase some of the things that Radharani in her Mahabhav stated. My dear bumblebee, you please keep away. You're the unreliable messenger of an unreliable master. Please get away from here. I know your tricks. You've gone to the big city to enjoy with so many young girls who have completely become captivated with your beautiful features. But you don't come bring that blackish person anywhere near me. He's not to be trusted. I know his ways. Get away from me. Then she went on to say, I don't know what it is about the goddess of fortune. She simply wants to worship you. There's the bumblebee at her feet. She simply wants to worship you. But she must not understand your ways like we understand. We've had experience. You make so many promises, and then you never fulfill those promises. You're a cheater. And your master is a cheater, and you're a cheater, and get away from me. And she's speaking all these harsh things to the bumblebee. And then the bumblebee disappeared. And Radharani went mad, saying, no, no, come back. Don't tell your master all these things, bad things I said. We know who you are, but we can't live without you. Please don't go away. Please come back. And meanwhile, Uddhava's hearing this talk of Radharani in her state of madness to the bumblebee. And Uddhava then understood why Krishna had sent him. It wasn't just to pacify the hearts of the gopis, but is for him to understand how elevated are these personalities. So he then offered prayers to Krishna in Vrindavan. Then I'd like to stay in Vrindavan and undergo austerities just so that I can become a blade of grass in Vrindavan. Because what I really want is the lotus feet of the gopis to be placed upon my head. But if I ask them now, they would be too embarrassed. We can't put our feet on your head. But if I became a blade of grass, they could put their feet on my head. And I would have the great fortune of receiving the dust of the feet of the gopis upon my head, and my life would be then perfect. I'm going to be going with a group of devotees during Kartik time in the month of November to Vrindavan. And one of the places where we're going to visit is where Uddhava did his austerities And it is said, there's Udavakund, and he became grass, part of a clump of grass at Udavakund. And when we go there, we'll see on the altar a deities, and then in the background is a painting of another wonderful pastime, which is when, after Krishna departed, the queens of Dwarka, they knew how much Krishna loved Vrindavan and how much love Krishna had for the residents of Vrindavan, the gopis. So they requested, could we take a visit, Narada, and take us to Vrindavan so we can see the places of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and hear his glories there? So they went to that place, and if I can recall correctly, I think it was Narada, someone was narrating the pastimes of Krishna. And as he was narrating the pastimes of Krishna, Uddhava appeared. And all of the gopis appeared, because the narration was so ecstatic. And the queens of Vrindavan, they assumed the forms of gopis because they were moved and in the association of those who had similar love as the residents of Vrindavan, as the gopis. They became moved by their ecstasy of love, and they themselves became gopis. And all this pastime took place at Udavakund, which is towards the end of the parikrama path around Govardhan Hill. So if your feet are still in good shape by the time you get there, it's a very wonderful darshan place of Govardhan Hill, and a place where Uddhava read the letter to the gopis while Radharani was experiencing her Mahabhav and talking in madness to the bumblebee. Srimati Radharani, as did Krishna have his pastime of appearance, she had hers. And according to our Vaishnava scriptures, as Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma, so also Radharani appears once in a day of Brahma, and there are different appearances of Krishna, different details in those different appearances, and different details of Radharani's appearance. The love of Krishna is so strong that sometimes he desires, dressed like a gopi as you see here, to serve Srimati Radharani, because only the gopis can serve Radharani in this intimate way. So Krishna adopts the attire of a gopi and serves his beloved Srimati Radharani. Here's the family tree of Srimati Radharani. She had an elder brother, Sri Dham, and a younger sister, Ananga Manjari. And her father and mother are listed here, Prishabhanu and Kirtida. And then from her father's side, his brothers and sister, and grandfather of Rishabhanu, and so on. This personality, I point this out, I don't know if you heard it last night, in the Bidhi Sharma painting of Krishna being taken from Vrindavan by Akrura. Do you remember that? In the lower left-hand corner, there was a very old woman bent over with a cane. I think that's Mukhara. She's the grandmother of Kirtida, and at the request of Mother Yashoda, she breastfed Mother Yashoda. That's the request of the mother of Mother Yashoda. So she has a very intimate, although distant, she has a very intimate relationship in the writings of Rupa Goswami. She appears again and again, very special personality. So this is her family tree. mother and father of Srimati Radharani, and this is her very famous place of residence, Barsana. And when you go to Vrindavan, there are certain very, very special landmarks that everyone wants to go to and see and spend time. Govardhan Hill is one, and the house of Nanda Maharaj, and Barsana. And as you can see, it's very, very majestic. But this is just one of four large hills. And the story behind the four large hills is that Lord Brahma prayed to Krishna very sincerely, when you appear in this world, may I take part in your pastimes, but in a humble way. So Krishna consented and said, you can appear as the hill upon which Radharani will reside, so she can be upon your head, one of your four heads, because Brahma has four heads, and there's four hills. And here is two others in addition to the one that you saw. This one in the distance is the fifth hill, actually. This is the hill where Lord Narayana resides. And this is called Mor Kutir. Kutir means a temple. And at the top of this temple is called Mor, M-O-R, because that's the local language for peacock. And it's called place where many, 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 many peacocks would reside. And one very nice pastime took place to commemorate the pastime. A temple was built where Radha and Krishna were seated on the top of this hill, and they were watching the peacocks. And the peacocks were dancing, you've seen them, with their tail feathers spread, and strutting around and dancing and dancing. And Radharani was smiling. So Krishna, understanding the mind of Radha, he got up and assumed the form of a peacock and began to dance. And Radha assumed the form of a peahen and began to dance. So Radha and Krishna were dancing as peacock and peahen. This is looking from the bottom of the hill up. And there's another very special place right down at the bottom of the hill I'll describe in a moment. These are pastime places in Barsana. When we go to Vrindavan, we'll visit them. And so in the temple, in Mor Kutir, there's this line of steps that go up, 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 up to get to the temple. And on the altar is a painting of an artist who was blind, that some generations or centuries actually later, one sadhu who was blind did his sadhana at the top of the hill. And he was meditating on this pastime that Krishna performed with Srimati Radharani. And he was deeply absorbed in the meditation, praying to Krishna to reveal to him this pastime. And Radharani appeared in his mind and said, we will show you that your devotion is so pure. We will show you this pastime. And although you're blind, you'll be able to see it. But there's one request. Please make a painting of the pastime that you see. And although you're blind, don't worry. We'll enable you to make the painting. So she disclosed the pastime. Radha and Krishna disclosed the pastime of dancing like peacock and peahen like this. And so the blind devotee, sadhu, was then given this instruction by Srimati Radharani to paint. And there wasn't like, you know, an art story. Go around the corner and buy some brushes and some paints and an easel and make a painting. So although he was blind, he fashioned brushes, the pigments he was able to gather from the side of the hill, mixed them together, and according to the histories here in Barsana, this is a reproduction of the painting that he made. It was not so long ago. So at least we're told this is the original painting, or a copy of the original painting that he made. And since then, other devotees have made similar paintings of this pastime at Mor Kutir. And another where Radha and Krishna are dancing, like peacock and peahen. Along the side of, in between that Mor Kutir, or the hill, there is this passageway between that mountain and another mountain that's over to our left as we're looking, and it's called Sankarikor. And it's a place where it's very, very narrow passage, and to get through it is we go when we go on Parikrama, but if people are very old, it's very difficult. Very, very difficult. That takes a long time to cross because it's so slippery and so narrow. But Krishna one day, he showed up and prevented the gopis. He did his Dhan Leela. He demanded a tax because at the bottom of the hill is a place where they would milk the cows. And then they would carry the milk on the milk in milk pots and milk products to the marketplace at the top of the hill. And Krishna was demanding a tax. So the gopis refused to give Krishna a tax. So with his stick, Krishna broke one of the pots. And the one dressed in a peacock dress, that's Lalita. Whenever you see a gopi dressed in a dress like this, peacock-looking dress, especially when she's holding a finger like that and shaking it at Krishna, that's Lalita. You're going to get it. You wait and see. These all belong to Srimati Radharani, and you've broken the yogurt pots and butter pots. You're in big trouble. So there's a pastime connected. The next day, the gopis came, and Krishna was waiting, but the gopis were on the other side, and they attacked Krishna. And tied his sika to the rocks. There's the passageway. You can see it's very, very narrow. And Shiksholi is on the other side. One of the Chitra Devi, one of the eight principal gopis, is on the other side. So, on top of another one of the hills in Varsana is this deity of Dan Bihari. The deity of Dan Bihari is commemorating a pastime where Krishna was approached by a poor Brahmin. The poor Brahmin had two daughters. No, he had three daughters. He had two daughters. He had two daughters. And he was so poor he couldn't afford a dowry for his daughter's marriage. So he thought, Krishna's very kind. He's the son of Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj has great wealth. So if I approach Krishna, maybe he'll help me. So he went to Krishna and asked for help, told him what the problem was. And Krishna said, although all the wealth is with my father, I have very little personal wealth, but there's one thing that I have that's very wealthy, and I'll give that to you. And the Brahmin said, yes, yes, whatever that is, it would be very kind. He said, the most valuable thing I have is Srimati Radharani. So I'll give that to you in charity. She's yours. And the Brahmin has said, no, no, no. I already have two daughters. Now it's three. How will I take care of their marriages? So Krishna said, all right, I have another plan. Here's a scale. And on the one side, Radharani can sit. And on the other side, I'll request the gopis to take all their valuable ornaments and pearls and jewels and necklaces and whatever they have and place them on the other side, and the equal weight to Srimati Radharani will be yours. You can give Radharani back in that way. So the Brahmana was very happy, and Srimati Radharani could understand what Krishna was saying, that she is worth her weight in gold and jewels and all precious valuables. And so at that particular place near the residence of Radharani, there's this place. There's where the scale was established. And to this day, they perform the pastime. They place the deities here. People place their valuables over here on that. And then it's given to the deity as gift and charity to the deity. And then during Julin Yatra, they perform the swing ceremony. The very the mellows of Vrindavan are very, very nice. This is a little section just to appreciate the special quality of Radharani by first appreciating the special quality of Krishna. There's a pastime described in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam where Indra did it again. Indra became very anxious when he heard of the austerities of Nara and Narayan, the sages, Nara Narayan Rishi, that they were performing. He was thinking maybe they're trying to become so powerful they'll take over my position as Indra, the king of heaven. So he made a plan. The personality of Cupid, Madan, along with the most beautiful damsels of the heavenly realm, he sent them to the place where Nara Narayan Rishi were performing their austerities, with the plan that with his Cupid's bow, he would fire an arrow at Nara Narayan, and they would become enchanted and charmed by the young girls from the heavenly realm. And when Cupid came, of course, Nara Narayan knew perfectly well what the plan was, because he's omniscient. And so he simply stood there, and from his own body, he exhibited unlimited numbers of Lakshmis and goddesses of fortune, who each one, their beauty was more attractive than million times any one of the other damsels. And Madan apologized for his foolishness. So one of the names of Krishna is Madan Mohan. He's the attractor of Cupid. The attractor of Cupid, Madan Mohan. Here is a description from Govinda Lilamrita. This is a discussion by the female parrot. That's the Krishna's parrot speaking to Radharani's parrot. My dear Shani, Sri Krishna carries a flute and enchants the hearts of all women throughout the universe. He is specifically the enjoyer of the beautiful gopis, and he is the enchanter of Cupid also. Let him be glorified. That's Krishna's parrot. But Radharani also has a parrot. And her parrot said to Krishna's parrot, Srimati Radharani's affection, her exquisite beauty and good behavior, her artistic dancing and chanting, and her poetic compositions are so all attractive that they attract the mind of Krishna, who attracts the mind of everyone in the universe. So her name is Madan Mohan Mohini. She's the attractor of the attractor of Cupid. She's more powerful than the all-powerful. And in the attraction between Radha and Krishna, as the pleasure potency of Krishna, sometimes she exhibits different moods, like this one, called Man. She becomes angry with Krishna. One of the places in Varsana, Man Kutir, is where this pastime is enacted, and the painting is illustrating, where Krishna has brought various items to offer to Radharani, and even his flute playing is insufficient, because Radharani is in the mood of sulking. Sometimes women in this world do like that, but it's just an imitation of Radharani's mood. It's really not nearly as interesting. But look closely. Here are some of the gopis watching Krishna's pastimes, and tears are streaming from Krishna's eyes. And Radharani also has tears streaming from her eyes as other gopis are watching the pastime. But she's also, look at that smile. She does what she does for the pleasure of Krishna. Radharani has no interest in anything other than the pleasure of Krishna. So a girl playing hard to get, that's different. That's an ego thing. This is Radharani's increasing the happiness of Krishna. When Lord Sri Krishna is with Radharani, he is the enchanter of Cupid. Otherwise, when he is alone, he himself is enchanted by Cupid, even though he enchants the whole universe. Again, the same pastime. Radha, like he was speaking to the bumblebee, sometimes says directly to Krishna, "Please go away. I don't want anything to do with you. You're untrustworthy." You see the mark on Krishna's chest? That's Bhrigu's foot. Bhrigu kicked him in the chest. But the gopis, Lalita and Vishakha, they're assisting Radharani, and sometimes they speak to Krishna in this way. "Get out of here." But it's also enhanced the pastimes of Krishna, don't worry. This is another place near Varsana where Prem Sarovar is called, where Radha and Krishna were seated at the end of one of these long extensions into the pond. And as they were seated together, Radharani had very fragrant garlands, as did Krishna have fragrant garlands made by the gopis. And they were enjoying discussing activities together. And there was one bumblebee that was buzzing around the garland of Radha, and Krishna was brushing the bumblebee, but he wouldn't go away. So he asked his dear friend Madhu Mangal to please get rid of the bumblebee. It's disturbing Radharani. So Madhu Mangal said, "I know mantras, I'll get rid of the bumblebee." And he got rid of the bumblebee and reported, Madhu is gone. Because Madhu can mean a bee, one who collects honey is a Madhu. But when Radharani heard Madhu is gone, she so absorbed in thought of Krishna, she thought, "My dear Madhusudana, he's gone." And she began crying tears of separation from Krishna. And Krishna saw her crying and said, "Radha, don't cry, I'm right here. I'm right by your side. Radharani, I'm right here." But she was so absorbed in this mood of separation, she was crying and crying and crying. Tears of separation. It so much moved Krishna that he began crying and crying in the same mood of Radha, appreciating what deep love that she has for me. He became overwhelmed with the same emotion as she. And their tears formed this lake. Tears of love formed the lake called Prem Sarovar. So if you go there, or when you go there, you'll experience, it's a very mystical place, a very devotionally surcharged place. Very nice place near Varsana. One of the competitors for Radharani's attention is sometimes said to be Krishna's flute. There are many pastimes that are described. Can we move the fan? It's blocking people from coming in. Ah, good, thanks. So, They have, in Rupa Goswami's writings, there are many pastimes where it's depicting the gopis making tricks to steal Krishna's flute. Sometime I'll describe those to you. But it is said that Krishna learned his flute playing from Srimati Radharani, because she's the expert of all arts. But here Krishna's getting a music lesson from Srimati Radharani. And sometimes in Krishna's absence, Radharani takes the flute, stands in the threefold bending position, puts a peacock feather in her hair, and imitates the posture of Krishna playing upon his flute for the satisfaction of Lalita. And by the way, Vishakha is said to wear a blue sari with stars that glow embedded in the sari. So when you see paintings of the gopis, you'll at least now you know who is Lalita and Vishakha. And by the side of Govardhan Hill, Krishna enjoys pastime with Radharani as he very charmingly plays upon his flute, and they enjoy one another's association. When Radharani is alone, her thoughts are entirely upon Krishna. She can't think of anything but Krishna. So even when she's making paintings, it's paintings of Krishna. When she's being decorated by her girlfriends, she's just thinking of thoughts of Krishna. And a very nice pastime. What time do we have to cut off? It's 6:45. 6:45? We're done now, huh? Okay, I'll go on a little bit. Do you recognize this place? Who knows the name of the place? What is it? Kusum Sarovar. Have you been there?
No.
No, you've seen pictures. Hopefully you get to go there. Kusum Sarovar. As you see, the architecture is fantastic. And it's a very special place where Krishna performed pastimes with Srimati Radharani, which I'll narrate and then I'll end. It's called Kusum Sarovar because there was a time when Govardhan Hill was much taller, and there was a whole grove of trees that produced very, very, very fragrant aromatic flowers. So the gopis would come here on a regular basis to gather flowers in the late morning so that they would meet Krishna in the afternoon around 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon at Radha Kund and Shama Kund. So in Varsana, from the time of Krishna and before, and even until today, there's a very special festival. See if I can remember the name of the festival. Can't remember the name of the festival. Huh? No. Janji Festival. There we go. It's a festival once a year where all the girls in Varsana have a competition, a very nice competition. They gather flowers and they decorate the area around the doorway of their homes. And then in the evening, the elders come and they examine the floral decorations. And then there's a winner. And the girl that wins wins some special prize and is honored in Varsana. So at the time of the Janji Festival, Krishna knew. So he didn't get up that morning. He was just lying in bed going, "Oh, oh." And so the gopis all came around Krishna's bed and said, "You just stay in bed, it's okay. Balaram will take care of the cowherd boys. You stay in bed and just keep get rest and get well." "Oh. Should we bring you something to eat?" "Oh, just let me rest." So the gopis let him rest, and as soon as they were gone, he climbed out the window and went to Kusum Sarovar. Because he knew it was the Janji festival, and that's where the gopis were going to go to gather flowers, the best flowers in all of Vrindavan. Only he went into disguise. He went in a disguise as a gardener. So as the gopis had their baskets for collecting flowers, Radharani went into a special place to gather as many flowers as she could, and the best quality flowers. And as she was moving along, her sari caught in a thorn. So she was trying to remove the thorn from her sari. Another place in her sari got caught on another thorn. And as she was trying to remove that thorn from her sari, then another thorn caught on her sari. And so she called out, Lalita, Vishakha, and her different gopi friends, please come and help me, I'm stuck here. But she was at such a distance, no one heard. But then this blackish gardener came, and he saw her in her difficulty, and so he removed the sari stuck on the thorns and appreciated. She very much appreciated this kindness. Said, who are you? I've never seen you here before. He said, my name is Vanamali, and I'm the gardener of the king, and I take care of the affairs of the king. So I must be gone now. I have lots of work to do today to take care of the king's garden. And then Radharani came wandering back, found the other gopis, and she disclosed everything that happened. They looked inside her basket, said, Radharani, there's hardly any flowers, because you normally collect more flowers than all the rest of us combined. And she said, well, sorry, I was caught on thorns and I was stuck, and I was calling for you, didn't hear me, but something happened. Someone came, and they said, well, let's hurry back because it's late in the afternoon and we have to get back to make the floral decorations. And she said, well, I can't get my mind off of that gardener. And just then the gardener came with all the gopis around and said, aha! I'm in charge of the gardens, and I've seen that you are the ones who are stealing all the king's flowers. You're thieves, and I'm going to have you severely punished. And they said, what are you talking about? This is Vrindavan and Vrindadevi. She's in charge. Who's this king that you're talking about? He said, you'll find out. You're in big trouble now. And he took his stick and hit the bottom of their baskets, and all the flowers went flying all over the place. And so they became very angry, and they ganged up on the gardener and started shaking him. And when they shook him, something fell out of his waistband. It was his flute. And they said, wait a minute, you're not a gardener, you're not Vanamali, you're Vanbihari. You're Krishna. You're the enjoyer of the forest of Vrindavan. And now look what you've done. All the flowers that we gather for the Janji festival have fallen onto the ground. Krishna said, don't worry. I'll pick up all the flowers and carry them to the river Jamuna and wash them and bring them back. And they said, there's no time for that. It's late in the afternoon already and the river Jamuna is so far away. So Krishna said, I'll make it up to Srimati Radharani. And this is in the ceiling, a painting of the pastime that Krishna then performed. Of course, it shows Krishna with a mustache, which he doesn't have, and a crown instead of a peacock feather. But that's Krishna. And he's decorating the hair of Srimati Radharani with flowers. Of course, Radharani isn't so much interested in the flowers, she's interested in the object in the mirror, Krishna. So it's like deity dressing. After Krishna decorated, combed and decorated the hair of Srimati Radharani with flowers, he had so many other jeweled ornaments and decorated Radharani in that way. Here's the variety of ornaments that he had, placing the ornaments very carefully on Srimati Radharani, and rings and necklaces and bracelets, dressing Srimati Radharani in an ornamental way. In this way, Krishna enjoyed a very wonderful pastime. And the good news is When this was all done, they said to Krishna, "This is all very nice. Now you've appeased Srimati Radharani. But what about the Janji festival?" And Krishna said, "Don't worry. I'm very good at decorating. And I'll just put my gopi costume on and I'll go to Varsana." He decorated the gate of where Radharani was residing. Very beautiful painting, huh? And Radharani won the contest. And all of this pastime took place at Kusum Sarovar, and very near to Kusum Sarovar, there's a Ban Bihari Mandir that was previously run by or worshipped by Sadhu, local Sadhu, and he so much appreciated the visitations of the devotees from ISKCON that he gifted the deity when he became very old to the devotees, and they're now maintaining that worship of that Dan Vihari or Van Vihari deity. And we're way past our time, so I'll just show you quickly some nice images of Radha and Krishna on a swing, as some of the gopis are playing musical instruments, and a totally non-envious mood where they're simply interested in seeing the pleasure of Radha and Krishna, bringing very nice edibles for them, swinging the swing for them. There's a nice pastime described in Nectar of Devotion where Radharani is looking upon the gopis, wishing that they too should swing on the swing with Krishna. So she gets off the swing and places one of the gopis in her place on the swing. Think of some girl that would do that one. There's no envy in the spiritual world. The interest is one. Krishna should be pleased. Now, in normal circumstances, Radharani is the best at pleasing Krishna. In fact, each of the gopis are described as expansions of Radha, and some of the qualities of Radha are embodied in each of them. So there's no envious spirit, and the central activity, led by Krishna's own pleasure potency, is Srimati Radharani. So I'll just remind you again of that place where we started. Although we're seeing two forms, and it may look like boy-girl things of this world, but it's the other way around. Boy-girl things of this world may look like that one. But that one is one entity, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladni Shakti Asmat Ekatmanav Api Bhuvi Pura Deha Beda Katau Tau. One entity, Krishna and Radha are enjoying pastimes together. In this way, the happiness of Krishna is increased, and Radharani's happiness is Krishna's happiness. So this is just a warm-up for Radhastami coming up this week. So I hope you'll be encouraged. In the course of the week, you can read Krishna book, or in Nectar Devotion, there's many, many, many wonderful pastimes between Radha and Krishna. They're mentioned and briefly described, where the divine couple are enjoying their transcendental leela together, not to be understood in with a material lens, looking at as if Krishna is embodied and Radha is embodied and two different bodies enjoying activities together. It's one entity, not a soul within Krishna, but Krishna is and his form are not different, and Radha is the pleasure potency of that Supreme Person. This is the transcendental science of Krishna consciousness. Srimati Radharani ki, Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki, Gaur Premanandi Haribol.